Can you guys hear me okay? I'm going to pull the mic just a little bit because my voice carries. In my previous life, I was a scroll reader. I was the person that stood on the stump and said, hear ye, for the whole land to hear. It is a joy to be in fellowship today. There's something spectacular when people come together with a common goal of loving on each other and healing each other and feeding each other. I don't know about you all, but I was hungry from 2020 to 21, hungry for human connectivity and all the things that go with that. So it is a joy and an honor to be with you this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. And so today, this subject, the importance of being one's authentic self is so near and dear to me because you have to learn to walk in it every day. So let me tell you a little bit about me outside of the resume. I was one of those kids who, when she was growing up, she was the ugly kid in school. She was the one that got teased every day. My parents would take us to Mississippi in August every year, the hottest month of the year, right? And by the time I came back home, I had spent considerable amount of time in the sun. And with the last name Black, you can imagine how traumatizing the first few days of school could be. And I often felt a bit inferior in my appearance. I was also a very loud person. My voice carries from mountainside to seashore. I love talking to people. I was always engaging. But what does the story tell us? They're like, but we like the strong, silent type, right? So there was a check mark, negative check mark against, because I was just an animated individual. You know, I talk with my hands. I'm very gregarious in how I engage the world. But people want you to be a little bit more subdued and calm. They don't necessarily appreciate the animation and the joy of life and the way certain people express it. They want you to be more professional, laid back. I mean, honestly, think about it. Here in Indiana, look at how we elect folks. They're much more calm. They're smooth. Look at Pete Buttigieg. He's a brilliant man, but he is not going to light anybody on fire. But he's the man, you know, that's someone that Indiana loves to embrace. And so it was always a little difficult when you're just not like that. Also, when I became more comfortable with who I was, when I came out, I recognized I was more masculine of center as a woman than the typical societal standards of women and what beauty looks like. I had all these things, you know, supposedly going against me. But things change as you get older. And the conversation that we're going to have today, I wish someone had had it with me when I was a teenager. So what is authenticity? Now, of course, you guys can go Google it and you'll get some clinical definitions and Webster's definition and Merriam's definition. But authenticity means having a keen awareness of who you are and what you stand for and expressing yourself honestly and consistently to the world. Now, being your authentic self means being genuine and real to yourself. I want to say that again. It means being your authentic self, being genuine and real and true to yourself. Now, there are many reasons why people are not comfortable with being their authentic selves. You know, there's a fear of rejection. I was the kid who was, you know, bullied every day just because of how I looked. People won't like you. People won't accept the real you, or they will judge you. Well, people are gonna do that anyway, right? People are gonna judge you anyway. You often are afraid to lose control and you don't have any control over how people react and respond to your authenticity. You might get hurt. So you don't want to feel vulnerable. And you definitely don't want to feel vulnerable to the unknown. And in today's social climate, it can be very harmful, both physically and mentally, to live in your authentic self. So yes, it is safe to say it can be very scary to be who you are. But here's where it all changes and you start to understand the significance of being your authentic self. You only get one life, so you may as well enjoy it. It's all you get. And there's multiple ways that you can do that. You can define and embrace your strengths. You can pay attention to the things that you are good at. So let's go back to young Dana. She talks too much and she is so loud. But she also, her junior year, came in second place in extemporaneous speech. In her senior year of high school, she went to nationals and placed in the top 10 in the entire nation. She didn't win, but top 10 out of 102 people. Now, she also didn't know that she had the ability to move people with words until she ran for office in 2016. It was a 3-minute speech. It was an anti-abortion bill that came out of the state house. You know how they do over there. And someone who never really heard me speak before said, hey, can you come and give us a speech? And I was 45 years old at this point. And I spoke for 3 minutes. And it changed my entire life. You probably wouldn't even know me here today had it not been for those 3 minutes in 2016. What I learned to do was embrace what I do well. I am a talker. I am a communicator, but I do it with love. I started with love. I come from a place of embracing and warmth. Another thing that can happen when you begin to embrace and understand your true value system is that you become whole inside. I often ask, why on earth would you make yourself uncomfortable to make somebody else comfortable? Used to happen to me all the time. I love to wear ties, cufflinks, and honestly, I look better in masculine clothing than I do in feminine clothing. I feel better. But when I was running for office, someone said, well, why don't you take off the tie? Do you have an open collar picture that we can use? Why should I change who I am to make you feel comfortable? Didn't you get up in the morning and pick out the clothing that you wanted to wear? You looked at yourself in the mirror and said, oh, I look great. And you went into the world and you were happy. Why should I not be allowed to do the same thing? When we talk to our young people, they are going through a lot of trauma every day. Can you guys, I'm looking in the room and we are all people of a certain generation. The only drills that we had in school were tornado drills. Our babies are having to do active shooter drills. That is an outside force that they can't necessarily control, but it's something that they're living through. But for our young people whose identities are not the default, they have those outside traumas and then those internal traumas too. There's nothing worse in the world than to wake up every day and not be able to see yourself. Growing up in Indiana, there weren't a lot of Black folks on television, and there sure as heck weren't a lot of masculine women on television or anyone representing a lifestyle outside of the default. I came out in 1990, and it was so much easier for me in 1990 than it was for those coming out in 1970 or 1950. But the more we embrace who we are and we let the world see who we are, they will get past the labels, they will get past the titles, and they will see the kindness in our heart and our joy for helping our fellow man.
But you can't do that good work if you're not doing the good work for yourself. If you start your day off pretending to be somebody that you're not, then whatever you're trying to give out into the world is going to be fake and not real. If you don't want to start your day with, I am me and this is who I am, take me or leave me, or leave me alone, then how can you honestly and wholeheartedly help your fellow men? I listened to y'all's covenant, and it speaks to the embracing of everyone around us. And being able to accept someone for who they are, regardless of what your belief system is the beginning. We have people right now, and I know that as in church, we try to stay apolitical, but I'm going to say this. We have people who are wanting to craft policies based on their narrow view of humanity. Now, science teaches us that there are lots of variations in gender. Sometimes people flip a coin when the baby comes out, right? Like, we're not really sure what's going on here. The doctor's like, the scientist is like, yo, what are we gonna do? So we know that there are variations of humans in society. So how dare you try to suggest that we are all simply binary? The science is there. And those of us of faith who believe in a higher power and a higher being, we know everything was done with a purpose. We have birds, but they come in different colors, different shapes, different sizes. We have amphibians. They come in different colors, shapes, sizes. Then why on earth would we think that the creator of all would want all humans to be exactly the same? In fact, even identical twins are not exactly alike. There's a joy in being different. There's a joy in the diversity. But if you do not take the time to study who you are, then how can you present your diversity to the world? It's okay to be fearful. You know, I tell people all the time, I run around Indiana looking like this. Sometimes I go into counties and I increase the minority population by 100% just by showing up. And if I can walk these streets and drive these roads as my authentic self, motivating and guiding and encouraging people to be civically engaged, then you can do the same thing in your very own community with your neighbors and the people that you know. But it's so important for your healing and your growth to know who you are and live it authentically. Y'all better give me a 5-minute warning. Y'all better give me a 5-minute warning. All right. Because I get excited at the opportunity to encourage people to know who they are and share their gift to the world. Oh, you didn't see that coming, did you? Did you know you have a special gift that is all yours and it's very unique, and we may be missing out on it if you are not living authentically? You may have something that is going to change the trajectory of poverty or change the trajectory of public education. But if you are not true to self, how can you give us that? I get excited talking about being one's authentic self, because I've taken the arrows. And I talk about me more than I talk about anybody else, because I don't know nobody else more than me. It really ain't like some narcissism. It's just, let me tell the stories I know, right? I didn't know, going through everything that I went through at 12, 13, 16, was building up that armor for me, so that by the time I got in my 40s and now in my 50s, I can be the soldier out front, taking all the arrows and all the blasts for the people who are walking with me. You don't know what the divine has set up for you, so you be ready for it. And I also tell my young people at 16, You have so much of your life ahead of you. Listen, y'all, when y'all talking to young people, you got to let them be, but also give them the notice that, hey, it's going to get better. Look at me. Look how I live. And tell your story. So now I walk through the world, the kid who was bullied and teased and told she was funny looking and talked too much and was loud. I have a message. I have a story to tell. That's what makes me unique and authentic. Took me some time to get there. Because everyone has a growing process, right? We all have a growth process. But if you embrace it and work toward it, then you'll get there. And I know, like, for jobs and job interviews, things like that, yeah, there's a certain face you have to put on because you are still trying to impress people. But I go back to the other message. I am not going to make myself uncomfortable to make someone else comfortable. That is not saying that you are being you're disregarding their feelings, their needs, their wants, but if they are uncomfortable with you being you, that's a problem with them. And there is no reason for you to acquiesce and step down to make them feel better, because all it does is beat you up inside. And we want everyone to be whole. And for those of you who are living your authentic lives and you are presenting your authenticity to the world, be a guide. Be a light. Be that soft shoulder to lean on. Be that crutch when they need it. Because there's nothing better than to have an affirming heart. An affirming heart. You know, as humans, we're going to fight each other. That's what we do. Every animal in the animal kingdom, they fight, right? Think about it. Lions, tigers, bears, they all fight each other. And they're usually fighting over mates or land or territory, right? So how is that any different than humans? How do we get to a point where that fighting, because it's going to happen, becomes an opportunity for growth and understanding? What are you talking about, Dana? Nobody likes violence. No, we don't. But that's conflict, right? Fighting is conflict. We all do it. In those moments of conflict, those are opportunities for us to come up with real solutions. An opportunity for us to make real change. But if you go into the conflict pretending to be somebody else, you're going to miss the opportunity, because you're going to think you're supposed to be doing this thing when you really should have been doing that thing. I know coming to the end of Pride Month, and it's always a busy, busy month for those of us who are rainbow warriors. But I love that there's always an opportunity to shine a light on the amazing diversity that the Creator manifested. If we were all supposed to be the same, we would be, but we're not. And I know sometimes it's difficult to embrace diversity of thought, diversity of geography, diversity of race, religion, and all the other demographics. But if we start with that affirming heart, none of that other stuff is really going to matter now, is it? I want to leave you with this. And I got to tell y'all, it is a joy to be, I'm a public speaker. This is what I do. This is what I crave in my heart. And for a year and a half, almost 2 years, I didn't get a chance to really do that. And it didn't take a toll. I learned to adjust. I learned to use the technology, but being in front of people and having that conversation, making that eye contact, feeling the energy has been a thrill of a lifetime. So I want to thank you wholeheartedly for inviting me to come and address you today. I am not a scholar. I am not an expert on anything. All I do is show up every day like I am and ready to go to work. That's what I ask of you all. Whatever your passion is, embrace it wholeheartedly and to the fullness. Do not let a day go by where you are not cultivating your passion. And as you cultivate your passion, share it with the world. Because you are amazing just the way you are. There's nothing incorrect about you. Nothing. And when we go outside in the sun today and it's gorgeous and it's feeling good, or you're hanging out at the pool, you're eating some ribs. I made some yesterday. They were really good. Be joyful in the existence. Be mindful of those with less. And be giving of love and warmth and affirmation. I'm always here. I don't know if you guys do a question and answer session, if you guys wanted to do that, whatever is clever. I love having conversations. So if you guys wanted to do a question and answer, we can do that. I don't want to just hog up the whole time running my mouth, because I can do that.
Says yes.
All right. Yes.
Anybody out here have questions or online?
Oh, look at the hands coming up. I love it. Love it.
Thank you very much. I just want to share what I've had an interaction with a Baptist minister and a Episcopalian. And in my discussions, you know, they lead in the discussion. They're trying to say that, the Bible says that homosexuality is wrong. You know, they start giving me that line. And my total response is, okay, well, I don't think it is. I don't think it's in the Bible. I think I have many scholars that have told me it's not in the Bible. And, but if you're saying that God made everyone, then are you saying that your God made a mistake by creating people that are so different? And that usually stops them a little bit anyway.
You know, the other story that I say when people say that, you know, they tell you God will bestow blessings, abundant blessings on you if you are living right, right? If you, you know, whatever that is for your particular religion. And I tell people, if I was living so foul, I would not have all of the blessings that I have every day. Too much is given, much is expected. I have a home that I love. I have a job that I love. I have enough money to sustain myself. I have all my faculties. You know, I had amazing parents. I have a loving community. Those are blessings. And if I was so fat in the divine's eyes, would I be living as well as I am? And I thank the divine. I thank the creator regularly for all of the blessings that I have. Could I use more money? Absolutely. You know, I don't even want a bigger house, so we're good there. There's always something that we desire, but I want for nothing. And if I was not a light in God's eyes, I would not be receiving the number of blessings that I receive. I know my existence is a blessing. So that's my argument for folks that want to suggest that the Bible says this, the Bible says that. Then if you want to get real scholarly, you can tell them, you do realize that they're still debating which books should actually be in the Bible. That's a whole nother debate. Because honestly, you know, as faith people, we accept certain aspects of the stories, and we understand that those are teachings for us to model our lives off of. But a lot of times, you know, think about it. Women were relegated, right? And I had to share this. And please forgive me if I'm incorrect, when Peter was setting up the church, and a wife of a parishioner says, hey, if I have a question, it might've been Paul, y'all have to correct me. If I have a question about religion or clergy, what should I do? He says, you need to go home and tell your husband what the question is, and then he can come back to the place of worship and ask the question. And that particular piece right there resonated with me. Wait. You mean the woman ain't supposed to talk in the church? It's in there, right? And this is when I realized that you have to, that the Bible reveals itself to you. It doesn't necessarily reveal itself in the way that you think it's going to reveal yourself. It'll reveal itself in the way to you that it's supposed to be. Do you think the divine would give me all of this mouth if they didn't want me to use it? I'm going to ask that question again. Do you think the divine would give a woman such as myself all of this and the forethought and the kindness and the wherewithal to understand how to use the words if he didn't want me to use them? True story. I share a birthday with our last president of the United States. And if you notice, we both have a gift of gab and can engage communities and get people to follow and be engaged in what we're saying. The difference between me and him, I use my powers for good. Next question.
Anybody online have a question? I think Mary's coming to us.
I just want to say, I really love what you had to say. And I like it also because it represents a much broader context than just gender. Kids that grow up, not just kids, but folks that are experiencing distress and trying to please everybody else and not realizing who they are is good and focusing on their strengths. It's just absolutely wonderful. So thank you.
Thank you for that. I knew that we were definitely highlighting pride and all of that, but it goes beyond pride, right? And, you know, me being here, standing in front of this congregation, just like this, is the pride. I don't always have to have a rainbow on, right? I don't always have to say it, just my existence. I tell people all the time, my existence is an act of revolution. Just me being here.
More questions?
Talk to me.
Home or away?
I have a question. Can you hear me okay?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Very fine.
So what is the Democratic Party doing to inspire people to get out to vote? I've spoken to some people. There's people out there that don't even know what January 6th is. And don't pay attention to the Supreme Court and what they're doing now. So I'm just curious if there's any discussion or plan on how to get people passionate and to pay attention to what's going on and to get out and vote in, you know, mm-hmm. 2024, 2022.
So to be clear, I don't actually work directly with the state party anymore. I am on IDAC, which is the Indiana Democratic African American Caucus Board, and I'm also on the Indiana Stonewall Democrats Board. But as far as what the party's plans are, I don't necessarily have intimate details, but I will say this. Couple things. One, the party has already started doing a lot of town halls. They've been going around the state. I would like to think that I inspired some of that. I can't say that I did because this is a whole new administration. But prior to this new chair, there wasn't a lot of party going out around other than myself. And now I'm seeing, and I'm loving every minute of the party being intentional about getting out, having different speakers, having people gauge the community. Now, you ask how we get people fired up. One thing that I know is this: everybody's space is very different and what they're focused in on is very different. I don't understand those that don't understand what January 6th is, that because that was, it's like 9/11. How do you not know, right? But at the same time, I also recognize that some people are more worried about keeping food on their table and keeping a roof over their kids' heads. And so they may not necessarily be as engaged as other people are. We're plugged in, and sometimes we get in our political bubble and we forget that, right? But one of the things that I like to do to get people inspired is talk about the issues that are close to home. And this is bread and butter, and I know you guys hear it all of the time, but you have to talk about the issues that matter to them. And you have to do it on a one-on-one basis. Yes, we can speak in large groups, and you can always get me up in front of 1,500 people and I can do a speech. But the best way to me to do it is sit down and find out what that person's needs are. And I guarantee you will be able to find a policy, good or bad, that speaks to their need. And then what you say is, if you want that changed, or if you want it protected, these are the things that you need to do. And it's going to be different for everybody, because we just talked about being authentic, right? Everybody's different. Everybody has a different concern. But that's how you, to me, that is the best way. The other thing I want to say is, we are the party. So when someone asks me, what is the party doing? I'm going to say, well, what are you doing? Because the party is made up of individuals who are volunteers. If we don't like the direction of the party, we get involved and change it. If we like the direction of the party, we go get in it and we enhance it. Everyone has an opportunity to have participate in this thing. There's nobody, even if someone tells you, because I've heard it before, people will be like, well, I went to the county party chair and they did this or they didn't do that. So I had people tell me I shouldn't run for office. I don't care. This is what I want to do. It's in my heart to do it. And there's nothing that's going to stop me from doing what I feel is right. And what I feel is right is I want to influence people to write, to vote for the right individuals who are going to create policies that improve the lives of Hoosiers. It's very simple for me. All of this, even this, is about how do I inspire people to get involved, to be civically engaged in this citizen government. We are the citizens they're talking about. So we are the party. And if you don't like, if something's not going, and this is not like a criticism or anything like that, but if you feel passionately about a thing, whatever that thing is, and you feel like the party should be addressing it, then you address it. I'll tell you something I did. I was a little frustrated with the party because I felt like as a young candidate, there were things that they could have done to help amplify my message and help amplify my voice as a candidate running against the Speaker of the House, right? So I didn't complain about it though. I thought about all the things that I would have done and I started doing them. And that was the birth of Turn Left. I'd only had two interviews and they were both print interviews as a candidate. Well, what if I had one? And I had never done a television interview, or I'd never had a live interview where I was gonna get real feedback, or I can make a mistake and, ooh, what if I had one? Turn Left is that thing where I wanna give these candidates an opportunity to get on a microphone in front of people and share why they're running for office. I saw a problem that the party wasn't addressing. And I just went about the business of solving it, because that's what I do. I use my skill. I'm a tech person and I'm a public speaker. So I built a studio and I interview candidates. I use the technology. I use my speaking skills to amplify the candidates. But that's just my gift, right? Everyone has different gifts. I'm not saying everybody go out and start a podcast. Do what you want though. But whatever your gift is, bring it. And if you are someone who doesn't like to be out front or you don't want to make the phone calls, then be the person that hands out water to those that are willing to knock doors or bake the cookies for those who are phone banking. There's an opportunity for all of us. There's too much to do. And there's an opportunity for all of us to get involved and just be there. I can talk about this all day long. I know it's out. We got 5 minutes. I'm supposed to shut up now.
Anybody else here or online have another question? All right. Oh, I think we're going to wrap up then. You want to close us out?
Thank you, everybody.
Hello. Okay.
That was awesome. I just feel better. Thank you. Our closing song today is going to be led by Brad. It's an all sing, and it's in your hymn. It's 146. It's Soon the Day Will Arrive.
Soon the day will arrive when we will be together